Well, I wanted to, I mean, I'm sure we've talked to everybody about all this coronavirus stuff. So I kind of wanted to talk about some other stuff. And you were watching, rewatching, I guess, one of the Duke, I think it was the national championship game you were watching with those guys a couple days ago. And there's something I've thought about this for a long time, and I wanted to get your opinion. It was pretty clear just from watching your interaction with those guys on social media. So there's still like a solid bond, and it seems like that's the case when anybody has like that kind of special season where, you know, you accomplish something great, and those teams and those guys seem to stick together and have a bond. But to me, there's a bit of a chicken and an egg there. Like, a lot of times we, you know, and I think the media probably buys into this, is like, team loses, and then this, oh, their locker room culture wasn't very good. Well, I mean, was their locker room culture not good because they were losing, or were they losing because their locker room culture? You know, what is it for you? What's the difference can you look back and think in November, was that team different? Were those teams that had success, was there like a different chemistry or culture that you could tell before they had that success?
Now, during the rest of my time there, I mean, every year we had talent, but those two teams from the beginning, at least for me, felt different.
And of course, like you said, you know, you kind of have to have the talent. Like, it doesn't matter if me, Craig, and Jerry go out there and we're the tightest team of in the history of the world, we're still going to get beat by everybody. Where does that make the biggest difference? Like, is that in the tournament? Is that when things start to go sideways somewhere? Where do you see that show up the most?
I think it's when things start to go sideways. Like, I look at the 2016-17 team at Duke. Like, I thought it was maybe one of the most talented teams that we had from top to bottom. But it took a while to get everyone, I thought, that year on the same page. Now, part of it was that there were injuries. We had some injuries early in the season that made it a little bit more difficult, you know, to have everyone on the same page. When we got back whole and we had everyone, you know, you had some guys trying to prove themselves. They had to show this. And, you know, you're competing not against the opponent, but you're competing against stuff you're hearing on TV, stuff you're looking at other guys do, and things like that. So you definitely have to have the talent. That's, you know, that's paramount. But I think the really good teams and programs, they certainly have talent, but they have talent that works together, that they understand how much they need each other. They, you know, it's not about one person. And it's about the team. It's about the program. And what they do is that they really understand that if they do that, then everyone individually has success. Everyone individually gets the love, gets the attention, and you're able to showcase, you know, your talent. You know, your talent is able to come to the forefront.
How much of that is, I guess, how much is it necessary to have that some older guys? Can you build that without, like, a senior? Like, you were talking about a Quinn Cook. Like, can you do that with a team full of freshmen, or do you need to have some people that have been there and done that to make that work?
I think you have to have some guys that have been there. I think you have to have some guys that understand it. And then you have to have guys that, you know, they understand that they've been through tough times. They've been through adversity. And they've learned how to kick that, you know, to kick adversity's butt. They've learned how to beat it. They've learned how to overcome. So I definitely think you have to be able to do that. You can have the most talented freshman and the most freshman group, you know, and things like that. But they don't know. And it takes them a while. They don't know. This is different. I mean, I worked, you know, when I was at Duke with some of the most talented freshmen maybe ever in this conference, in the ACC, and or as talented as any that have come in. But there's an adjustment. The speed, the how much you work, the length of the season, the pressure, all of those things, you know, they wear on you. And so how do you get accustomed? And I think it helps when you have older guys. I don't think it necessarily has to be a senior. You know, if you have a junior that's been through it, you know, Emile Jefferson and Matt Jones, those guys, by the time they became juniors, you know, they could really help in that sense because they had 2 years of experience. And so I just think you need experience. I think experience is the thing that helps those young guys. And, you know, to me, it always can't come from the coach. You know, I think he's the best coach ever. And if he's not, he's in the conversation, and the conversation's very short. And as great as he was, you know, when I played, when you get to, like, mid-January, February, like, you get tired of him. You know, it's interesting, when I went back there and worked, you know, he gave us, the assistants, a lot of responsibility. He allowed us to talk a lot more than the assistants did when I played there. And I remember one day talking to him, and he said, you know, he would say to me, like, I don't want them to get tired of my voice. a long season. And so that's where there has to be that voice in the locker room. And you know, to me, you always hear, you know, an extension of the coach. I don't know if I agree with that 100%. I just think it needs to be a voice of the program, like someone that really loves, and I guess that is an extension of the coach, but someone that really loves and understands the program and the culture of the program, and it's all about winning. You know, I think the best teams, you know, there's something, there's someone, at least one, usually there's multiple, but there are people inside the locker room. You know, there's a great story. You know, I've read it, I've shared it with our guys here. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, and I know that may be blasphemous here in Pittsburgh, but, you know, years ago, back on their great teams, they had gotten beaten in the playoffs. And Ed Reed talked about, like, how he would see guys, they cut their tape, and they wouldn't throw a trash can, would be, you know, less than a foot away from them, and they just leave that stuff there and leave trash, you know, things like that. And finally, he spoke up and told those guys, like, look, we want to win a championship. We can't do this. We have to take care of this stuff. We have to hold each other accountable. We have to do that. You know, and it's all those little things. Like, people think that, you know, it's just cliche. It's really, really not. I mean, I've been on teams. I played for a national championship when I was a player, you know, was part of a team as a head coach that went to an Elite Eight and was a really, and we were a great team that year at Oklahoma. Had some teams at VCU that were really good that got to the tournament at that time. That was the ceiling at that time. And the makeup of them, all those things, the one thing in common with all those teams that I've been a part of, even with some of those USA basketball teams, is that there was leadership and responsibility on the team besides the coach. The players owned it. And I think it takes time for that, you know, when you, obviously, I know the history of Duke basketball. I mean, that's what Dawkins, Allery, Henderson, Billis, that's what those guys did. They went through some stuff early, but they had to grow into that.
Is getting and staying experienced one of the hardest things for a college basketball coach to do right now?
Jameson and Carter were in school for 3 years. I mean, come on, man, that's, you know, Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace were there for 2 years. That there's no way that would happen anymore. And so it's way different than that. But, you know, now it's, again, I look at 5 years ago and how different the climate is right now than it was 5 years ago. So it is, it's a challenge because I think in our society in general, and I think it spills over to, you know, to athletics, everyone wants everything fast. Everything wants everything to happen so fast, and they expect it. You know, high school basketball was very different, you know, than it is now. Like, there's so much more, there's more exposure. You know, it's not just at our level. You look at the high school level, you look at kids changing teams often. You look at them changing AAU programs. I mean, one of the funny things I always look at is, you know, we won't be able to experience it this year because of what's going on. But normally, there's a weekend. It's normally towards the last two weekends in April. That's usually one of the first times we can go out to AAU events. And it's always amazing to me that after the first weekend, you look and see how many kids change teams. Because it didn't go for them the way they expected it to go. And so quickly they change. And normally it's always someone else's fault. Always. It's always, instead of, inside, you know, everyone knows the story about me my freshman year at Duke and what my dad did and what he said to me and things like that. You know, that's different now. The parents are very different now. You know, the families are very different. And that's not just with basketball, that's just in general. And so I just think everything is different, which makes it at times a little bit more challenging to do it. Not that it can't be done, but it does make it a little bit more challenging to do it.
When you're recruiting and looking at players that you want to bring into the program, I mean, it's pretty easy to turn on some film and see if a guy can shoot or see how tall he is. How much time do you spend trying to figure out if they're going to be a leadership guy or if they're not going to be a leadership guy, at least a guy that's going to fit into your team culture? And how do you go about doing that?
You try to build a relationship and you try to get to know a kid, his family. You try to watch how they interact with coaching, how they accept coaching. You try to get to know them. One of the things that's a little bit more difficult, I shouldn't say it's more difficult, but it's a challenge, is when you take over a program, because normally, you know, it happens late. And so you're trying to, everything is quick. You're trying to build these relationships. You're trying to get to know people. You know, you're trying, like, there's a hurry, and it depends on what program you take over. You know, if you take over a program where you have a lot of guys returning and they've won, they're used to winning, that's a different challenge because you're trying to get them to know and to believe in you. You know, it's like when I took over at Oklahoma, those kids there, they were used to winning. I mean, I took over a program where a culture where it was established. Kelvin Sampson's teams played hard. They were physical. They rebounded. They defended their butt off, you know, and things like that. So it was a culture of winning. They had been to the tournament. They had, you know, multiple years in a row and all of that. So when I took that over, the challenge was getting them to believe in me. My style and the things that I did was very different from Kelvin. And that's what they were used to. Obviously, you have to add talent. You have to continue to do that. But that was the challenge there. You know, when you take over a program, again, like there, when I took over there, you're trying to recruit. You're trying to recruit in an area where you don't know. And so you go out and you know you need players. And, you know, it's a lot of times March, sometimes in April, where you're trying to do this and you're trying to sign guys right away. And so how much are you really going to know them unless you were recruiting them at the previous place where you were? So that's the part that's difficult. You know, if you have time, then you get to know a guy. Like, I look at these guys that we will have as freshmen this year coming up, I should say. You know, we've had a chance to get to know them. Like, I've known John since I took the job here. You know, we've known Max. You know, when I got the job, I went up to Lutheran, you know, during that first week. I went up just to introduce myself and see and watch them work out. But I got to meet those guys. You know, the same thing with Noah. You know, we've had a chance to get to know them. We've had a chance to get to know these guys. And so I think we know a little bit more about them, about who they are, you know, their families, know a little bit more about their background. But that's what you try to do. You try to establish a relationship. You watch, you get to know, you ask questions, you know, do all of those things. And then you hope, but man, you know this just like I do. Like, you don't truly know anyone, man, until you're working with them every day. Until you're with them every day. And you know, you watch how they work, how they deal with adversity, how they deal with success, all of those things.
As you, and you're talking about the freshman class coming in here, as you sit here in April, start thinking about next season, what part of your team do you feel good or excited about, and what part maybe are you a bit nervous about?
Well, I feel good about, you know, we'll have, I think, a pretty good core group of guys returning. You know, if you look at it, you know, we'll have one senior with Terrell. And then you'll have those two juniors. years with Xavier and with Aldis. And certainly Xavier and Aldis have really played a lot. And they've played a lot under me, and they've had a chance to understand and have a better grip of what it is that we want. Same thing with Terrell. You know, Justin was able to play a lot and to gain invaluable experience and understand and have some success, have some adversity, all of those things. You know, I really like the way Kareem came on at the end of the year. I thought he finally got a little bit acclimated to the pace, the speed, you know, the terminology, you know, all of those things. Gerald was really good for us early in the season. And, you know, he had an injury that he never recovered from. Never did. You know, I don't know why, but he never really was back to himself. You know, I think he'll have a chance to get healthy, and I think he can really help us, you know, if he's healthy and things like that. One of the things that I'm nervous about is the fact that this is a big summer for us as far as development. And are we going to be able to do anything? You know, if and when will we be able to do anything? Will we be able to work with these guys? Will they be able to get in the gym? Right now, none of them can really get into a gym. And so I'm nervous about that. But those other things, I'm excited about the guys that we have coming in. I think they provide, you know, talent, toughness. They're all good guys, you know, good families. They believe in what it is we're trying to do. You know, we've had a chance to establish those relationships, and, you know, we've been very honest with each other. And so, those are the things I'm excited about, and that's the stuff I'm nervous about.
Would you, I'm assuming you're, you know, still, you still got some open scholarships that, you know, so you're still going to try to add to it here. Is 3-point shooting something you still feel like you need to address? What's, it seems like recruiting is still going, I mean, obviously not as usual, but still getting done. Do you see there being hiccups in that process? You know, as I guess I just announced today that Pennsylvania is not going to go back to school, whether it's, you know, guys getting good grades now that they're at home or not being able to take the SATs or, you know, not have an AAU basketball. Do you see this process being able to continue, or are there going to be issues?
It's going to continue. You know, how long will we not be able to go out, or will they not be able to do things? The spring and summer are huge for coaches and for prospects. You know, for us, it gives us an opportunity during the season. Not a lot of coaches go out, especially head coaches. And so you don't get to see a kid as much during the spring and summer. That's the off season for us. And so we do get a chance to get out, even if it's going to watch a kid work out in his high school, watch his team practice. Certainly the AAU events, you know, provide us an opportunity to see a lot of guys in one setting and to really see, you know, them against elite competition all the time. Whether it's the shoe circuit things, you know, with the Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, or some of these other events, you get to see, really good competition. And then one of the things the NCAA did last summer was that they gave us those 2 weekends, I think they were in June, where we could go, high schools had events. And I thought those were really good because you see them with their team. national team who they're with, you know, really during the whole year. So that's those are things that we're going to miss. You know, those young men are going to miss the opportunity to get in front of coaches, you know, and things like that. Hopefully, you know, we're all hopeful that we're able to have a July. But certainly that's it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is our country being healthy.
Yeah.
And us being able to have long-term, you know, health. That's the main thing. You know, where you could see some hiccups is that, you know, you won't have a chance to establish those relationships. You won't have a chance to see a kid play as much and to maybe see him, you know, how he handles adversity, to see, okay, in a Friday night game, kid has a bad game, how does he respond Saturday morning? Or kid plays his butt off, you know, Saturday morning, how does he come back Saturday afternoon? Does he handle success? Does he handle adversity? He can't make shots. Is he doing other stuff? You're not going to be able to see those things. And so, to a certain extent, now, again, they aren't doing that right now. So it's not like, you know, normally we got a couple of weekends, but then they're still playing. They have events every weekend and things like that. And so even with those, you can rely on some of the recruiting guys. You can rely on some of the relationships you've established with the AAU coaches or the high school coach, and they're able to see them and give you an honest assessment. You know, we aren't going to be able to do that. And so you probably are going to watch a little bit more film, and to rely on relationships that hopefully you've already established.
It seems like, you know, recently, I guess, I don't know if I have a year for that, but it seems like, you know, schools recruit a larger area than they used to, as a matter of regular course. Do you expect that, you know, guys not being able to travel to visit schools and coaches obviously not being able to travel, do you think it might kind of shrink the recruiting map for a lot of places or for a lot of guys that might not be interested in a school that's half the country away that they might have otherwise been more seriously considering?
Adapting and things like that, and so it's going to be interesting to watch.